This is the Green Student Ministries Middle School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. We are committed to our students being known, knowing Jesus, and becoming kingdom workers. We hope this podcast serves to encourage, challenge, and to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is Green Student Ministries.
So we're going to do something a little bit different this morning when it comes to kind of the message portion of our morning. I hope that this morning is a little bit more interactive, and I'm going to actually challenge you guys to dig in and get into God's word yourself this morning here in just a little bit, and I want to lay that out for us and kind of what I'm going to be challenging you guys to do. So last week, we started a series called Get Away, all right, and kind of this lead up to Ruach weekend for our fall retreat happening this week. Again, if you guys want to sign up, let me know afterwards, and I will try and connect you and hook you up as best as I can. All right, so that's coming up, and it's just a great way for us to kind of pull back and get away from everything that's happening, from all of the things that are going on in our lives, whether you feel like you're overwhelmed or busy, you've got lots of homework, you've got stuff happening with your friends, with your family, like there's just always kind of these things happening. And last week, we looked at Jesus and his life and these moments that he had where he would get away from everything that was happening to spend time with the Father, all right? And so we saw him performing miracles and doing all of these things and being around crowds and crowds of people. And so after a long, hard day, he would sleep, and then he got up early the next morning to make time to get away. It said that he went to go be alone. He would go get away, and he would spend time in prayer or with the Father, just refueling and trying to be refreshed by his presence. And it happened. We also saw a story where he fed 5,000 people, more than 5,000 people, all right? Like they were hungry and waiting, and he was teaching them, and it was a long day. And after that day ended, he went away by himself and got away and was spending time with the Father. We saw that before he had a major decision to make, all right? Like before, the night before he was gonna choose the 12 disciples, like before he called the disciples to himself, he spent all night in prayer. We joked about that, right? How many of you have been to Wallapalooza? You've been up all night and it's like a lot of fun and we go everywhere and it's crazy. Now imagine spending all night in prayer, all right? I said that I would probably make it about 15 minutes, especially if it's after like 10 o'clock. If I've got my eyes closed, like I'm gone, all right? I'm probably out and I'm snoring immediately. And so to stay focused and to do everything that he could to get away and spend time with the Father. There were things that he had to overcome. Like one, he had to get away from the people around him. So he had to try to find a space to be alone. He had to try to find time to be alone. Like he was a busy guy. He was teaching and he was with people all the time. So in order for him to get away, right, he had to carve out some time. And even if it was early in the morning or late at night or all night, he would do that to get away. He also, not only did he find a space, he had to get away from people, he had to find a time. He probably was exhausted himself. Like he was probably tired from a long day of work, a long day of ministry and helping people around him. And even in the midst of that, he took time to get away and be with the Father because he knew that it was good for his soul. And he also, I believe that he was trying to set an example for us of what our walk with Christ should look like. And so here's the thing. It's funny, I'll use this story. Whenever I started running, for those of you that don't know me, I love running. I still run now, but whenever I was in middle school, I started running cross country. I ran because my dad ran, and so I just assumed that like somewhere in my genes, I was like fast. And I was like kind of fast. And so it worked out all right. But the thing was that immediately I was not just like good at running. Even if I thought like my dad was really good, was a great runner, he ran Oklahoma State University, and so he was really good. He ran Division I college. He was fast, and so I just thought that like I would just start running and like be immediately good. And I went out, and the very first cross country race I ran, I'm pretty sure that I got close to last place, all right, because I just assumed that I was going to be good. What I didn't realize is that it's over time, as you train and as you continue to run and you put more mileage in, like that slowly over time, you get better and better and better. And by the time that I had ran middle school, seventh, eighth grade, through high school, and then into college, I would have laughed at myself if I would have told, like as a college student, if I would have looked at me as a middle schooler and told myself how fast I could run now. Because at that point, I felt like it was impossible. Like there's no way that I could do that. I could run that many miles. Like we were running 15, 16 miles a day sometimes, like in warm-ups and workouts and all this other stuff. Like, and so we're running a lot. And I was like, there's no way, as a middle schooler, I could barely run a mile or 2 miles at most. But it was over time that I continued to practice and get better and better and better. If I was in seventh grade, now imagine if I told all of you right now, all right, hope you guys brought your running shoes this morning because we're running 20 miles. We're going to do it. All right, let's go. I was like, all right, everybody stand up. You'd be like, is this a joke? And I'm like, no, I'm serious. It's happening. All right, if you want to eat lunch, you have to run 20 miles. So maybe you'll eat at like 6 o'clock tonight. And so that would be crazy, right? It'd be nuts. I would never make you guys do that because you're not ready for it. And so in the same way, like it took time for me to train myself and for my body to become more accustomed to running longer and longer distances to where I eventually was able to like run a long time. I think for a lot of us, we don't think about it this way, but I think that we have to train ourselves even of what it looks like to get away and spend time with Jesus. For a lot of you, I don't know how many of you, like think about this, who in your life even has ever showed you, what does it look like when they say, hey, do you have a quiet time with God? Or do you have like a time of where you do your devotion in the morning or in the afternoon? Like we throw that word around a lot. But if you think maybe who's kind of modeled that for you, and if nobody has, I hope that this morning is extremely helpful for you because that's what we're going to do. Because I think whenever we think about like, oh man, I need to be spending time like reading my Bible and praying and spending time with Jesus, it's like, I got to spend like 30 minutes or an hour. And here's what you do. You get really excited. Maybe you go to a weekend like Ruach and you come back and you're like, Mom, Dad, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to spend an hour a day in my Bible reading. Or you're like, I'm going to read a book of the Bible a day and it's going to be awesome. And then you start in Genesis and then you give up like immediately. All right. And so that we shoot a little, maybe too high at first. And so it's good for you to practice. What does it look like to have a daily time where you're in God's word or where you're getting away and you're being with the Father? And I want us to look at that this morning. And so let me read this. And in just a second, I'm gonna have our leaders pass this out. We've got pens and stuff, and so we're gonna do that. But I wanna explain kind of through this first before we kind of get all flustered and we're passing out stuff everywhere. Let me read this. This is good. Most Christians firmly believe in the importance of spending regular time in God's word and in prayer. Yet so many of us struggle to do this consistently. Perhaps that's because we think this time with God has to be a monumental and mystical experience. In fact, you can begin developing this spiritual discipline in as little as 7 minutes a day. So it's talking about developing this discipline in your life, and it starts with just a little bit of time, and if you do it as much as you can on a daily basis. You don't have to start with an hour, all right? And this is one of my favorite things on this, and you'll get this. It says, do it for the right reason. Do not become devoted to the habit, but to the Savior. Do it not because other people are doing it, not as a spiritless duty every morning, and not merely as an end in and of itself, but because God has granted us the priceless privilege of fellowship with himself. Here's the crazy thing. Whenever God sent his son, when he sent Jesus, right? Jesus lived a perfect life. He died for our sins and was resurrected. He defeated death. And because of that, now, if we believe in him and who he says that he is, we can have life and life to the full. He rescues us. He saves us. We're seen as right before God. All of our sins are gone. They're taken away. And when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. And then whenever Jesus leaves his disciples in the book of Acts, he sends the Holy Spirit. And so now, if you are a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, he lives in you. And we have full access to the Father. Back in the Old Testament, in order to talk or to do anything with God, there required a sacrifice before you could even do that. And so if you were lived in the Old Testament times before Jesus, in order for you to be seen as right before God or to pray or whatever, to do anything, right, you had to make sure that you were up on your sacrifices, which meant that you needed to take a legitimate animal like a goat or a sheep or whatever, like doves, anything, a cow. Like you'd have to bring it in and the priest would literally kill it, which sounds weird and crazy because we live in a world post-Jesus where now he is the sacrifice and he's the one who makes us right before God. And so the way that we're able to talk with him so freely is because if you guys remember from the story of Jesus's resurrection, whenever he comes back to life, whenever death is defeated, there is this veil in the temple that's torn, this curtain, where like the only time that anybody could be in God's presence was once a year, and it was like one guy, and he would go in there and try to offer sacrifices for everybody all at once, and if he did it wrong, he would die, and they have to like drag him out with a rope, all right? It was like terrifying. But now, that same presence of God, if you believe in Jesus, that he is who he says he is, he lives in you. That's crazy to think about. That all we have to do to talk to God is this. Hey, God, we love you. Thank you for all that you've done. You're awesome. Like, that's it. That's it. There's no, like, pre-sacrifice anything that we have to do. We don't have to, like, sprinkle special water in places. We don't have to, like, make sure that we're all clean. We don't have to go clean our room and sit there before we have to make sure our homework's done before we talk to God. Like, anytime, we have access to the Father, which is crazy awesome. And so the fact that we have that ability, hopefully following Jesus' example, we're able to develop this, and it's something that we fall in love with because we see and experience the more and more time that we spend with Jesus that he does, he refreshes your soul. He restores you. That after a long, hard day where things went all wrong, you know that you can come home and you can take some time and just say, God, I just need to sit and be with you today. Or you know you have a tough day coming up and you can wake up early and say, God, I got a lot going on today. Would you just be with me and help me to see you and other people around me? Be with me. Give me energy. Give me strength today. You can ask him for those things. You can even just take time whenever to say, man, God, you're awesome. Like, how cool is whatever is happening? Like, wow, this is awesome. God, you're amazing. And that hopefully we would dig in and do this, that we would want to spend time with Jesus. I love that. It's don't become devoted to the habit, but to the Savior. The whole reason that you have a time away with Jesus is not so that you can be like, hey guys, guess what? I had my quiet time today. It was great. Did you have your quiet time? No, I'm better than you. That's not what it's for. All right? And it's not even like I've heard this, sometimes it's like it becomes like a weird contest. Like, oh man, I was just really spending time in the Word this morning. Like, it was like a good 20 minutes. And then somebody's like, oh, amen, brother, that's awesome. Like, man, I was in the Word this morning for like 30 minutes, and it was amazing. And like, wow, oh man, oh, that is so cool. Man, when I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock, and I spent 2 hours reading the entire book of Leviticus. No, you didn't. Stop it. That's a lie. You did not do that, all right? That's not what happened. That's not what it's about. Jesus gets away and spends time with the Father because it is good to be with him. And so I want us to walk through a quiet time this morning together. And so here's what I'm going to have you guys do. Everybody kind of stay in your spot. Don't move. All right. I'm going to have the leaders. So Zach and Rob, if you guys grab those pens and those papers, there should be enough for everybody. If any other leaders want to help kind of grab some papers or whatever and help pass those out, you guys are all going to get this piece of paper. All right. And it says how to have a daily quiet time. All right. And it's got what I read on there. And so while they're passing that out, Kyle, if you want to flip to that next slide for me, the one from last week, or go back one more. This question, this is what we asked last week. What do you need to do to get away? All right. And hopefully this morning, This is just an example and even just kind of showing you what this looks like to take time to have a quiet time. Like for some of us, we're just like, what do I do? Do I like close my eyes and open the Bible and I'm just like, here, this is where I want to read this morning. All right? Sometimes there's like plans, there's other things. You could pick a book to start in, whatever. Try to avoid the clicking of the pens. And I know they're clicky pens. That does not mean click them after I told you not to. It sounds like it's raining. We'll get it. Just wait. We'll get it all out. We'll get it all out in just a minute. Just wait. Wait on the clicking. Not listening. Guys, stop clicking the pens. Thank you. All right. Is everybody who still needs... You guys good? You need one? You need a pen or paper? Both. All right. Nick was in the bathroom. He missed it. Oh, sorry. That's my mic. Now it's on the podcast. Hey, Nick, you're on Spotify. No. I'm going to cut this part. No? I'll leave. All right, I'll leave it on for your father, for your dad. All right, hey, so everybody stop clicking the pens. Stop. Shh. All right, no more. No more clicking of the pens. I can hear them. Stop it. All right. So you have this. You have this, how to have a daily quiet time. Hopefully you have a Bible with you this morning. All right? And here's the other thing. So leaders, can you look for me? Hey, everybody, if you need a Bible, can you raise your hand? Can you raise your hand? Dang. Okay. So there's Bibles on that back table. There's Bibles in the room, small group rooms. Can leaders just kind of run around and try and find a couple? They're kind of all over the place. On the shelves, there's some. How many are in there? One. There's a bunch on that back table. Jill's got some.
Abby's holding a bunch.
Abby's got a lot. Jill, were there more in that back room? There's more back there, Chase. On the shelf. Anybody? Bible? A Biblios? You can keep them. Beautiful. Anybody else who needs? Right there? Right down here. That one will work. That one will work. Work just fine. All right. I think that we need two more. There you go. Right there, Josh. Right here. If you still need one, raise your hand. Right down here and right back there. Josh, up here. Do you need one, Caroline? Oh, up here. We got one up here and one up here. We need one day and one day. Beautiful. I think that we're good. Zach, thank you for going up the stairs. I appreciate it. Now we have him down here. Anybody? All right, perfect. All right, hey. Shh. All right, so here's what I'm going to have us do. I'm going to have us walk through this, all right? And so this is, like, it goes quick, all right? And so here's what I want you guys to do. All right, we're going to walk through this, and I'll tell you. So we're going to take 30 seconds to prepare your heart, right? So I do this. So before I dig in and I read God's word, I take just 30 seconds to say, hey, God, what do you have for me? What do you want to teach me from your word this morning? All right, this gives us another prayer that you can pray. You could even just read it in your head and just read it to yourself. Lord, cleanse my heart so you can speak to me through the scriptures. Make my mind alert, my soul active, and my heart responsive. Surround me with your presence during this time. All right? And so that's a prayer that you can do. And then you take 4 minutes to listen to God. All right? And the way that we do that is by reading his word. And then you take 2.5 minutes to talk to God in prayer afterwards. And here's kind of this model that I have for us. It's on your paper, all right? But so it's literally a 2.5 minute prayer where you do these four things. It spells acts. So adoration, all right? You're just telling God that you love him and you reflect on his goodness and just think about how good he is, all right? Where you just take time to say, God, you're awesome. You're a creator. You're like all the things that you know about God. Just say those back to him. And just that's a form of worship. The next one, C, confession. You take time where you say, God, I know that maybe this last week, these are some of the ways that I screwed up or that I ignored you or that I've sinned. Would you forgive me? Would you remind me of your grace in my life? All right? Confession comes from the root word meaning to agree together with. And when we apply this to prayer, it means that we agree with God's estimation of what we've done. Like he already knows what you've done. So it's not like you telling, it's not like you have to go through and list every single thing that you feel like you did wrong. Like he knows, all right? But it's just you admitting and saying to God, I know that I've done wrong this last week. And you know, would you reveal those things to me? Would you help me to be better at those things? And then thanksgiving is the third one. Think of several specific things to thank him for, your family, your business, your church. Even thank him for hardships. And that's tough. The S one, this is a really big word, supplication. But it just means to ask for, all right? So then all you think of like all the people in your life, all right, that maybe you want to pray for of like, God, would you keep my parents safe today? Would you keep my family safe? Would you heal my grandma? Would you do all, like, would you help my friends to know who you are? Would you help me to be a light at school? Would you help, like, you're asking for help. You're asking for God to do something, right? Yeah, you can pray for yourself, people around the world, missionaries, friends, those who haven't even heard about Jesus. You can pray for those people, all right? So this is what we're gonna do, and I wanna encourage you, underneath of here on your paper, the A-C-T-S, all right, that whenever we do the prayer, here's one thing that I do. Because my mind wanders, like I'm always, I feel like it's like squirrel, all right? Like one of the best ways for me to pray is by writing down my prayers. Because then if I think through these four things and I write them out, one, it takes me longer to write what I'm thinking than it just does to think it, obviously. So before I know it, I've spent like even just 10 minutes, like 2 minutes on, or 2.5 minutes on each thing. All right, and it extends my time of prayer and thinking and being with God when I do that. And so even if you just write out like one or two things next to these little boxes or underneath or on the back of your paper, whatever, you can totally do that. And so here's what I want you guys to do. We're gonna walk through this, and I'm gonna show you just how fast it goes. All right, because I'm gonna have my timer on my watch. And so during this, I want you guys to engage in this. All right. Please, 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 like, this is serious. Don't distract the people around you. This is for you. Like, think about that. Like, you're the only person in this room. It's just you and God, all right? And so think about that. Don't talk to your neighbor. And I'm going to have you guys open up to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. If you ever are like, man, where should I start reading? I don't know where to go. Great place to start is Psalms. There's like a bunch of chapters. There's a lot. Like over 150, I think. Yes. So Psalm 1, just open that up. Should be in the middle of your Bible. Some of you may, if you only have a New Testament, it's going to be at the beginning probably. We have like a lot of random translations kind of laying around, and that's okay. So here's what I'm going to have you do. We're going to take 30 seconds for you to close your eyes and pray and prepare your heart. Then we're going to take 4 minutes for you to read through Psalm 1. All right. And now don't just read it like take your time, read it slowly, read it again. Read it 3 times. If there's something that you feel like sticks out to you, just like read over that verse a couple times. And even you can even in that moment just be like, man, God, what is this trying to teach me? What are you trying to say to me? And then we're going to take 2.5 minutes to talk to God in prayer. And I'll walk you guys through that. So here we go. So everybody go ahead and close your eyes. And we're going to take 30 seconds to prepare your heart. Go ahead and do that now. All right, go ahead and read. Take about another minute to keep reading. You can underline things in your Bible. You can even read chapter 2 if you want. Take some time, about 45 seconds, to just think through who God is. And I'm going to start that last 2.5 minute section to do some adoration. Tell the Lord that you love him. Reflect on his greatness. take some time to confess to God the things that you've done where you've fallen short. Take some time to thank God for all that he's done, all he's given to you, the people in your life, situations that you're in, all the blessings that he gives. Now take some time to ask God for whatever may be on your heart. Maybe it was a prayer that came out of even what you read. Things that you know that people need. People that you know that need Jesus. So in these last 20 seconds, let me pray for all of us. God, would you make us like a tree planted by streams of water that would yield your fruit in the right season, and that the leaves that are fruit, that it would not wither regardless of what's going on around us. We love you. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Green Student Ministries Middle School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to contact us at gsm@thechapel.life or follow us on Instagram @Green Student Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.